the host, the face of the World Juniors.
Yes.
On TSN. Here's James Duthie. When are you going away, JD?
I didn't sleep through this one. Are you guys proud of me?
Yes, very much so. Thank you for doing this.
Sadly, no, Hayes, and I'd even you'd change your Jerry's percentage, because if there's a couple players with kids, you know, the kids go back to school, you're stuck. So yeah. I am going to be absolutely melted to my couch through most of the time. I'm going to watch a little Clemson Tigers, my boys, go for the national title. What's that, Monday night?
Monday night.
Going to watch that. Going to watch a little hockey, actually, instead of having to think about what I'm going to say about it. I'm not going to say anything. The intermission is going to start, and I'm just going to have a beer. I'm not going to say anything to anybody.
Nothing wrong with that.
I like that idea. So you think that the school would take higher priority over the week off? Is that what you're suggesting? Because there are some parents, like my wife.
Well, NHL guys might be different.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Look, they might just bend all the rules. And frankly, if my kids were younger, I used to do that. If I had a week in January or something post World Junior, I'd say screw it, and then we'd be off somewhere. But my son's in that, you know, year before university. Once they get to high school, you can't do that. You can't do that, or you're messing with stuff, right?
Yeah, that's true.
You're gonna end up in Aurora Community College.
But you can't leave them if you
nothing
decided.
Wrong with community college, by the way.
Not that there's anything wrong with
not
that.
Not that there's anything wrong, but you can't leave them home because you may come back to a half a home where there's a fire, there's been a party or something like that. So it is a fine line. You're right. You may have to stay home just to supervise and make sure not only they get the education, but that there's a house wrecker going on.
There was already an early fall hot tub incident that is going to make me stay home for a while.
Really?
That's already my biggest fear, and it's like 15, 16 years down the road, is one night we go out and we come home and everything's gone, and there was a huge party, and my daughter's passed out somewhere. I don't know how I'll handle it. I can picture it. It's going to happen. I know she's not even speaking yet, but I know she's going to throw a big party in 16 years.
Well, I know because I was there. I only did it really once. We were moving. And I was, I think, 18. My sisters were gone, and my parents sold their house. And so the house was empty of furniture, and they went to BC. And so I said, this is the one perfect green light opportunity, because it was like 2 weeks before they were coming back. There was no furniture. Nothing could get busted. So I don't know. I invited 20 people over, and it was kind of like a movie scene. I'll say I may have gotten a little carried away too early and ended up falling asleep in the furnace room. So I woke up at like 1:30, and I got up, and in the basement there was a couple people lying around, but I'm like, oh, this thing must have ended. Nobody's here. I got upstairs and there was a few more people, and I went outside and there was like 150 people on my street urinating in the neighbors' planters, neighbors outside in their bathrobes screaming, and yeah, it didn't go well.
No.
And I actually cleaned up, and I tried to massage things with the neighbors, and I thought I was okay. And my parents came home a couple of weeks later, and they went to inspect the house, and I thought I was fine. And the one thing I never did, I realized, when I cleaned up that house at like 5 o'clock in the morning, was ever turn on the lights. And these idiots had somehow taken booze and just sprayed it all over the walls and ceiling. So as soon as my parents turned on the lights, on the day they were turning over the house, the entire walls were just streaked with booze. So that was my one experience. So I said this quietly with my kids not in ear distance, because if that ever happens to them, they're dead to me.
Oh, totally. I will overreact like you've never seen an overreaction.
Yeah,
I can picture it. Isn't it crazy how you would now overreact to things that weren't half as bad as what you did?
No kidding.
I mean, that's what parenting is, I guess. But
it all makes sense now. Why your parents got so mad?
You basically have to really lie a lot about what you were like.
It's true. Oh, I'll be telling her stories about me just being a choir boy.
I'm going to be the most irrational parent out there. I just have that feeling because I'm a little bit. I'm an older father, like 45, and my kid's 4.
Right.
And so I get agitated as it is. And I don't really like kids other than my own and a couple others. And, you know, I'm kind of in between. So I'll be irrational 100%. And I'm trying to, that's why Steph is kind of the buffer.
Right.
But I don't know how it's going to roll down if our kid has a party or there's a neighbor kid that shows up that I don't like.
You know those pads you have stored in the basement?
Yeah.
Those things are getting
Some
ripped
idiot's
up.
Going to be wearing them.
Oh, man, it's a lock, believe
me. Who knows?
Anyway, we can put a bow on the World Juniors, and what a game that was last night. And we've been talking a lot about the outcome, the shootout, which I understand, you know, it's a big topic of discussion. It should be a topic of discussion, but I don't think it should overshadow what was a great game. And furthermore, let's not lose sight. The Americans won. You know,
they won, and I actually think they deserve to win. And, I mean, look, it was a dead even game. I'm trying – if you were to – let's say it was boxing, and instead of a shootout, you had a panel of judges who had to award a winner of that game with no influence from the crowd. I think the Americans, if you take the entire tournament, were just a touch better than Canada. And maybe I'm always tainted because I think I'm the opposite of a homer. When I watch a game, I'm more critical of Team Canada. And also when you're, you know, quietly kind of cheering for Canada, it always feels like the other team's pressure lasts longer than your team's pressure. When the U.S. has the puck in the Canadian end, 45 seconds feels like 5 minutes, where if the Canadians have it in the other end, it feels much shorter. But I mean, it was dead even, essentially. But I think, again, if you go by everything, I think the Americans were certainly worthy gold medalists. But the shootout discussions are fair. I don't think most of us, you know, are because Canada lost. And I made a point of saying it before the shootout. I think it sucks. And I'll always say it sucks. Because I don't mind it in any game up to the gold medal game. In the semis, I mean, you there's a reason for it. There might be a second game, or you have to play a gold and bronze medal game the next day. So there is a time limit on all those games. But once you get to the gold medal game, there's no time limit. You should just settle this thing. I mean, maybe you can't go five periods with these kids like you do an NHL game of overtime, the potential of that. But look, if they played, let's say they played 5 minutes of 3-on-3 after that, that game was over. Someone was scoring in that 5 minutes. Or if they did 20 minutes of 4-on-4 instead of 5-on-5, somebody was scoring. So it infuriates me a little bit. And I would have felt the same way if Canada had won, because it cheapens what was a fantastic night of hockey.
Yeah, I think we'd all agree it would have been great if they found an outcome in the first 80 minutes of play, for starters. I mean, it's not like they played 15 minutes and went to a shootout. They played 80 minutes and couldn't determine the outcome. But beyond that, it'd be great if they played at least another 10 minutes or 20 minutes of 4-on-4 or 3-on-3. But what you're risking at that point is some kid blowing his knee out, and then what you get is the overly dramatic crowd saying, here we go, we're taking advantage of 18-year-old kids playing for free, playing the game that we want. Like, that's where there's – I just don't know if there's an alternative. Like, everyone yells and screams about the shootout, but it's very difficult for people to come up with a reasonable alternative because
The best one would be to play 20 minutes 4-on-4, I think, which I get so confused, frankly, because I've done so many of these and they seem to change the rules all the time. But I think that's the way it was. I stand corrected, and one of your listeners might know better than me, but at some point it was. And I prefer 5-on-5. I love the NHL method of doing things, but I think we've all accepted that 4-on-4 is fair hockey now, and it's not some gimmick. And I think that would be a pretty good start, because I don't think there's many 4-on-4 games that are going to go 20 minutes without a goal. And I could handle... Okay, 20 minutes of 4-on-4, and then 5 minutes of 3-on-3, and then you go to a shootout. Just minimize the odds. I'm with you, Hayes, in the sense that you can't play four periods of overtime, but I think you could make a greater effort. And frankly, I know that Hockey Canada people have been lobbying the IIHF for this the same way.
Right,
it is to make those changes. But I mean, it's been around forever in the IIHF, so I think they probably won't change it.
With James Duthie here on Overdrive, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2, you were there for every Canadian game and even the exhibition games leading up to it. Give us a player or two on the Canadian side that you feel comfortable in projecting stardom for in the NHL.
Well, before you finish that sentence, I thought you were going to say maybe somebody who was overlooked. And, define stardom, because that Nicolas Roy impressed me incredibly. And I hate it that he missed, that was the last guy to miss. And if that's the replay that gets shown, because he actually had him, he made a really good little move. And I don't know if the ice or whatever, but loses control. Because of the five shooters, that was the best move. And he would have scored if he'd have kept that puck and got it to the back end. But I just thought shift to shift, he did so many little things incredibly well. And Craig Button had told me about him, and he said he was a secret weapon for Canada going into this tournament. And the stuff he does down low on the boards, like he won so many puck battles, it was ludicrous. So I don't know if he's going to be a star in the league, but that would be a guy I'd put a lot of money safely on being a really good NHL player. It's hard with other guys. Like a guy like Barzal, man, he's dynamite. But we've seen some dynamite kids in the World Juniors before that, you know, that offensive skill doesn't always guarantee you're going to be a super. Like he was maybe comparable to Drouin. And, you know, Drouin's going to be a good player, but I'm still not sure he's going to be a star yet in the NHL, right? So sometimes those skills, how do they translate? Thomas Chabot, I think now, and Noodles, you probably share with me the doubts and seeing him last year and seeing him in Ottawa and the brief time he's this year that, you know, confidence was lacking. But that guy looked like he played in the NHL for 5 years, and they made up a rule to let him come back for one tournament. Because I've never seen, I don't think in all my time in the World Juniors, I've seen a player more confident in everything he did with the puck. And that, so, I mean, that guy looks like he should be sensational if he can keep that sort of confidence level up in the National Hockey League.
Right.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, Chabot, he was very good, but I don't know. I mean, it is difficult to project. If you don't have the McDavid, Crosby, Tavares, Lindros type player where it's just a lock, like you know they're going to be stars. Like even
I don't think there's a guaranteed star on that team.
I'm
frankly.
Not sure there is either, but look at last year. Marner did not have a very good tournament. And
until that last game, and yeah. That last game against Finland, it's like he almost decided, okay, I'm not going to play this Team Canada, you know, roll everybody out. I'm just going to try and win this game by myself. And he was remarkable for a couple of periods there against Finland. But you're right. Before that, he wasn't great.
And then you look at him, and he sure feels like he's on pace to be a star player.
Yeah, he's going to be fine.
Yeah, he'll be all right.
Well, no, I mean, I think there's questions on all of them. And I wish I'd like to say that I was a better predictor of things. But that Watt kid would be my safest bet that his skills will translate to the NHL immediately as well as anybody else is there.
Well, let's talk about being a better predictor. What was your Jerry's percentages that your, we'll call him your panelist or your co-host, was going to make it into overdrive today?
That would have been zero from the outset.
From the outset?
Well, you'd be right.
Yeah.
You'd be
that
right.
That was essentially the same Jerry's percentage as Latvia winning gold. That's the equivalent, if you'd asked me before the tournament. There was no shot.
Well, you must have overworked him, I guess.
Yeah, he was exhausted.
You know, he has adapted the, work as less as possible, faster than any person I've ever seen in television. Usually it'll take 5 to 10 years. We went to, as the game was going to the shootout last night, our producer, Bill Dotson, came over my earpiece and said, do you guys want to do a minute and a half before the shootout? I look at Bob and Owen. I said, do you guys want to do a minute and a half before the shootout?
Yeah.
Bob kind of nods. Oh, says, no, I don't want to do that. I said, you know, there's probably 6 to 7 million people watching this right now. This might be the largest audience you ever have, possibly in your career.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't want to do that. That's a 30-second comment I have to come up with.
Right.
No, I convinced him pretty quickly. I'm being a little harsh there.
That's awesome.
You know what? It was fun to have him because the fandom that he has for the Leafs, which we've seen many times and you guys have, is the same for Team Canada. And, you know, I'm the no cheering in the press box thing is too ingrained in me. Because I went to journalism school, but O's not a journalist, and he knows that, and he's never, you know, he wears that pride on his sleeves. So, and Bob's the same way as I. You know, Canada will score a big goal, and we'll just sit there.
Yeah, but why is that the case, though, when it comes to your country? Like, we had this conversation yesterday, and I understand it when you're covering the Maple Leafs or the Blue Jays or the Raptors, but you are Canadian. Like, it's not...
No. I mean, I'm not ashamed to say that I'm cheering for Canada, but I still think there's part of being a broadcaster that you can't do that. You can't jump up and scream and yell and things like that. The most time I was most tempted was when Crosby scored the winner in 2010, and I was probably 30 feet away because we actually sat sort of in the crowd. But I just can't. I don't know. It's just too ingrained in me. I just
really
think it. You have to at least show some sort of
restraint.
You're not kidding anybody. You're Canadians, but you do have to show some sort of restraint. But O shows no restraint. He was yelling and screaming at those goals and fist pumping, and it was, you know, I love that. The guy, nobody wears his heart on his sleeve like him, and it was really fun to watch because it's just been me and Bob in there for 11 years, and we're probably too stoic for most.
Well, I say cheer, buddy. I say go for it because we actually had that conversation yesterday, and I mentioned how if you go to the Olympics or if you go to a World Cup, generally, like the Canadian and American
media
types.
Could you see Bob Costas?
No, I can't. Because the Canadians and the Americans, I think they take the same line of thinking that you do. But every single Olympics, every single World Cup, it is inevitable. A Canadian or American media will tweet out that some Brazilian guy is doing a wave in the press box
right. Because
he's just like, forget it. I'm Brazilian and I want to see them win. And I say, go for it, man. I salute the guy who represents the country.
I think I would be too concerned about some shot of Twitter on me climbing up in the luxury box that we're in.
True enough.
You know, with my jacket around my arm, twirling it in the wind, trying to lead some cheer. But I'll leave that to O because I think he's allowed.
All right, buddy. Well, great job as always, man.
You know what? It's such a privilege. It was a ton of fun, and I hope Canadians aren't. You know, it's always a depressing end when you lose a game like that. But man, it beats the hell out of losing in the quarterfinals like last year. I mean, that was a ton of fun. And it just sets up great for Buffalo next year.
Can't wait for it.
I agree.
Good stuff, buddy. Thanks for doing this today.
Okay, boys, take it easy.
There he is, James Duffy.